The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe they should consider that plays in the division. So we'll talk about all those things. But while we're on the subject of the Cavs, we actually got a little bit of news during the break that Darius Garland, who we talked about with Ethan Sands at the top of the hour, was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. So the awards and the accolades and the recognition keep on pouring in for the Cavs. And Matt and I are asking you guys whether or not the expectation should change a little bit here. I set Eastern Conference Finals at the beginning of the season. And now that they're 11-0, I think it's fine to start sort of comparing them, and we'll get our first chance to see that November 19th in person, like when they play each other head-to-head, to the defending champion Boston Celtics that everybody considers the gold standard right now.
They are the gold standard. You know, obviously they're the defending champs, like you said, and really good team, and they're not even at full strength because Porzingis is still coming back. But look, the Cavs... You win 11 games in a row, and I know I was joking before, the East is terrible, and that's true. I mean, you got 2 out of 15 teams that are above 500, but still got to play the games. You know, there's still back-to-backs. There's still stretches where shots just don't fall, or a guy is sick or a guy is hurt, and you lose a game, and there's scheduling losses. To start off 11-0 is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show the job that, like you said before, Kenny Atkinson and his staff have done. Yeah, would it be great if they were 15-0 before that Celtic game? They got a couple games with the Bulls and Philly, who I don't know what they're doing. But, like, they have players. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, the Cavs players show up every day, go to practice, go home, go to the games, go home. The Sixers are like, we got some guys, maybe they'll play tonight, maybe they won't. It's like, what is and you get away with that. That's why people sometimes are very turned off by the league when – Kawhi Leonard sits out 50 games every year and makes $50 million a year, while Joel Embiid is deciding, I think we're going to sit out back-to-backs and other – season ticket holders, are they getting their money back when their favorite player's not playing, Spencer?
Yeah, that's always a tough dilemma for the league. They have the right mentality about it. Like, Adam Silver always talks about how they need those guys to play because there's people who spend money on tickets. Like,
right.
When a team like the Lakers only comes to your town once a year against, you know, some Eastern Conference team and you want to see LeBron play, and then LeBron's like, hey, I'm not playing. And I throw LeBron out there. He's probably one of the – he's not maybe the biggest culprit of the load management thing. He does it from time to time, but he certainly plays more than most stars, I would say. That is a problem. I think it speaks to the mentality of Kenny Atkinson, though. Like, he works these guys. The practice schedule's a little bit different, probably a little bit harder. And he expects them to kind of be out there playing hard every single night. And I think they're sort of doing that. It helps that you have such a deep team that he's able to tap into as well, which is maybe another difference between him and JB Bickerstaff. Like, JB, again, sort of being the stubborn ways that he was very much like, I go 7, maybe 8 guys deep. And Kenny's like playing like 10 guys a night. And that's without Max Strus. Like, Max Strus hasn't even played a game yet because he's dealing with that ankle injury. When he comes back, we're talking about a rotation that's going to include like maybe 11 guys on any given night. Like, that's pretty impressive.
It is. And they're and not only are they scoring, you know, they're the highest scoring team in the league, but they're getting stops too when they need to. And it's refreshing to watch because, like we said, I mean, there's a lot of teams right now doing a lot of load management, injury stuff. Cavs just go out and play hard every night. And 11-0, you can't argue with that.
Let's go to a couple callers here. BP and Pepper Pike always jumps in when we're talking Cavs. It's like his bat signal. BP, what's up, man?
Hey, it's good to be on with you both. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
What's up, B? Good to see you.
Hey, you too. You know, this is almost like a perfect storm of good news regarding the Cavs, and it's the complete opposite of the Browns. You know, but I will take it. You know, this Cavs team is looking like the best team in the NBA, and right now, if you look at the landscape, there's about 15 NBA stars that are injured. You know, it's almost like an epidemic. So, you know, guys like Embiid and just, you know, Maxey, you know, I'm not that worried about the Philadelphia game because of all the injuries. Embiid's not playing back-to-backs. He may not even be playing in that game when we're playing against Philly on Wednesday. So I am concerned about tonight's game. I think the Bulls are kind of a pesky team. You know, if Zach LaVine plays, I think he's going to be playing. You know, he's a good scorer, and Kobe White and Vucevic. You know, so they do have some guys that can score 20 a game. I think we're going to outscore them, like you guys were saying.
Yeah.
And I said over the weekend, you know, last year the Cavs were scoring 112 a game, and their offense was average. This year they're scoring 124 a game, and they're like a high-octane offense, almost like a Golden State. So, you know, I do attribute a lot of that to, you know, the players have been playing great. Everybody's, like, hitting their marks. But also Kenny Atkinson is, you know, letting the guys, you know, thrive, you know, and I just think it's fantastic, you know. I mean, I can't thank God we hired him and we didn't hire James Borrego, you know?
That was Nick's boy, though. Nick was banging the drum for James Borrego.
Oh, man.
I know. And I just love the pedigree of Kenny Atkinson that he spent the last 3 years with Steve Kerr. And I thought he did miracles with Brooklyn back around, you know, around 2018. This guy is a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
He is. He's well-respected, too, guys. Like, he's just – you could tell – look, Donovan Mitchell would not have signed off on this if he didn't think Kenny Atkinson could do the job.
Very true.
And it's refreshing to watch. And like he said, with the Browns, what BP just said, and we appreciate the phone call, like, it's been such a bleep show and 2-7. It's like, here they can. And the Guardian season was great, and you and I have talked baseball so much, but, you know, it ended up obviously not going the way we wanted. But for the Cavs to come out of the chute like this, man, what a jump start for the city. It's great.
I will say it does feel like this streak is going to end on some against some fluky team. Like it does feel like the Bulls are like a team that could, like, because they play them 2 times in the next 4 games before that Celtics game, like we've been talking about. It does feel like the Bulls could just end up being the team that beats them randomly. Like, I mean, think about it. They almost lost on Saturday to the Nets. Like, no, as we were mapping this whole thing out and they were 10-0, it was like, oh, who are they going to actually lose to? Nobody thought it was going to be the Nets, and then they almost lost. So, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like that'll be one of the games that they have an off night. Let's get Casey in Cleveland in here. Casey, what's up, man?
What up, G? A couple things, Spence, I wanted to just touch on, man. Answer your question, first of all. Do we move the bar? I say no. I think we leave it where my guy, who you had on, had put it in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I say that because if we decide to make a splash move, a light splash move by the trade deadline, then that says we all in, right? And then I think you can move the bar at that point. Having it move right now with what we got, I think we need to just pump the brakes at Boston and see what happens. But yeah, if we make a move, then, and if we keep playing like this, obviously somebody would be in consideration to be coming here. So that would be great. You know, so, but moving forward past that, you just touched on Max Strus, and my question was, and I asked your screener, I'm like, I don't know this coach that well. Maybe you guys can answer this for me, but what is he going to do when Max Strus comes back? Is he the type of coach that has to enter Max Strus into the starting lineup, or is he going to leave his starting lineup the way it is?
That's a good question. Casey, I appreciate the call. That's actually a really good question. I'm going to just go out on a limb here, Matt, and I'm going to guess that if they're still I don't think they'll necessarily be still undefeated, obviously, when he gets back. But I'm going to guess, like, if they're playing well with Dean out there, Karras out there, or Cora out there as kind of like a rotational guy, starters, he'll probably become part of that. But I don't know that he just gets, like, instantly inserted. I'm guessing he'll probably come off the bench.
Kenny Atkinson comes from a Steve Kerr school, so he's not going to start him right away. But you're right. They played 11 games. I think they've had seven times they started Dean Wade, 4 I think they've started Okoro. So my guess is Strus comes off the bench, and that's the shooter that you want coming off the bench. You know, it's funny, Ethan mentioned before calling Ty Jerome the microwave, so shout out to Vinny Johnson, the original microwave. But maybe Strus is kind of in that Vinny Johnson role where he comes.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off the bench and can pop in 20 a night, but starting right away, no, I don't see it. I think they're not going to mess with the apple cart, and also he has got to get his sea legs under him before you just start him.
It's very
true. This is Max Strus we're talking about here. He's a good player, but not. This isn't like Kevin Durant coming back.
No, I agree. Are there any good teams in college football this year? And we like to gatekeep fandom here at the station. We have our latest instance where you might have to step in and tell people whether or not they can root for a team. We'll talk about both those things when we get back as you're rolling into the 4 o'clock hour. Also, Matt is only here till 5, and so I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least talk a little bit of Cleveland Guardians. So
yes,
we'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Very much looking forward to that. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German, Matt Derry with you, 92 through the Fan. Hey, down here in Cleveland, Matt, like, I'm already getting the sense that people are like, well, hey, now that the Browns are pretty much out of it and I need something to cheer for the rest of the season, and then you throw in the fact that Za'Darius Smith just got traded there, people are already talking about cheering for the Detroit Lions in the rest of the year and come playoff time and rooting for them to win a Super Bowl. And I know especially the morning show here at 92 The Fan is very particular about the teams that other people are allowed to rep on their hats and their clothes and cheer for and support. They were very staunchly against cheering for Joe Burrow when the Bengals made the Super Bowl because it's your division rival. And
yeah, they're right.
Joe Burrow went to Ohio State, but and in this instance, I know in football they're not necessarily a direct rival, but they do have a direct rivalry in another sport. And I don't know, is it appropriate for Browns fans to cheer for the Detroit Lions the rest of the season?
I mean, look, the Lions are America's team. They are. They are. They've become America's team. Dallas is pathetic.
What does Jerry Jones have to say about that?
Right? Lions are fun. Like, you played the Dan Campbell clip coming out of the break. I mean, it's hard not to root for them. They really are all about winning, and they've done it right. And all these other organizations are now trying to copy the Lions, who have not won a championship since 1957. Like, that's craziness. Like, Arizona's built their team just like the Lions have with their GM and coach and how they're aligned. It's wild to think about that. But you're right, Spencer. Like, Guardians and Tigers are now a good rivalry and have kind of been rivals. They've never been good at the same time. Pistons, Cavs have had their moments in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
The LeBron 47 game that I was courtside for in 07.
Wow,
I
mean, look at you. Congratulations on all your success.
But no, I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, it was an unbelievable
performance.
That's
awesome, yeah.
But like, Pistons, Cavs, Guardians, Tiger. I mean, there really is there Browns, Lions, other than the Great Lakes Classic preseason trophy. Remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
They're really
what's the one between the Lions and the Guardians? It's like the barge or something. Isn't that the trophy? Is that still a thing? Don't they?
That was Lions and Browns.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The Great Lakes Classic, and it was right. This giant barge, on a trophy case. But like,
that's like a college football trophy, right?
I don't think that's a. I mean, if you need a team B, but see, we've never in Cleveland, we've never had a team B. Like in Detroit, because the Lions are so bad. People are like, oh, my team B is the Chargers, or my team B. That used to be a topic. Like, oh, who's your team B going to be this year? Browns, we've never really had to have that. And then, and then for 3 years, it was anybody that played the Ravens until the Browns came back. in 99. So, yeah, I don't think it's a I don't think it would be bad to root for Detroit.
So, I don't personally think it's bad, and I think it's kind of like, to your point, like they have sort of taken the league by storm. They've taken the just NFL fans in general by storm. They're a tremendous story. Dan Campbell is awesome, as you heard in that clip there. Like the Jared Goff sort of resurgence to being a better quarterback and sort of reviving his career in that way in Detroit has been great. And, you know, shout out Ben Johnson for that, who's probably going to be one of the top candidates for a head coaching job this cycle. There's so much to like about that team. But I also understand where, like, I'm sure plenty of people are finding reasons to cheer for the Lions. I think it's also a little bit frustrating because, like you said, there's always been sort of this, like, kumbaya between the Browns, the Bengals, the Bills, and the Lions, where it's like we all just kind of suck and we're all kind of from the same region, right? Like, we're all sort of like this Midwest teams, most of us kind of border Lake Erie, and, you know, it was always like the Ravens and Steelers dominated the division, so the Browns took solace and Browns fans took solace in the fact that, like, well, at least the Bengals suck too. And then along Lake Erie, it was always like, well, you know, the Lions are the first team to go 0-16, the Browns are the second team to ever go 0-16, and then the Bills sucked for as long as they did. So there was always kind of this, like, camaraderie between these fan bases that, like, they really, really care about their teams, but they were never just good enough to actually go win anything. And so I do wonder if there's also a little bit of that in play here, where it's like, yeah, I get why I need to root for them, but I feel like also it's kind of like a, great, we got passed by the Detroit Lions too. Like, even they passed us now. What does that say about us?
Right. Well, how old are you?
33.
Right. So you were not around for the Browns Bengals hatred fest in the mid-80s.
Yeah, with the Steve White.
Right. I mean, that was pretty ugly for about 5 years. Like, Browns Bengals was really interesting for about 5 years, from like 85 to 90. But you're right. I mean, the Bills at least have made the Super Bowl, right? I mean, the Lions haven't. The Browns haven't.
But this again, century, it's always kind of been like a camaraderie between those cities that, like, because I do think Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo are three of maybe the best sports, like, fan bases in this country.
Sports towns.
Because, like, they care. Like, you go to L.A. and the talk about, you know, going to SoFi Stadium to see a game is always like, it's just this very, like, business buttoned-up crowd. Like, there's not a lot of noise. Nobody really gives a damn about the Rams. And you hear that about other cities. But those three cities specifically stand out because those fan bases care. They live and breathe and die football in those communities, and it's awesome. I feel honored to have been lived in Western New York and, like, experience, like, seeing that firsthand, and then cover the Bills for a couple years and seeing that firsthand, and now being Cleveland. Like, I've covered, I think, two of the best sports cities that you could ever imagine covering, which is awesome for me. But, like, now that they're on sort of, like, different playing fields, it's like the Bills passed the Browns a while ago, several years ago when Sean McDermott took over. Now even the Lions have surpassed them while the Browns are in the midst of a 2-7 season. Like, I can see some jealousy creeping in there.
Oh, for sure. And I think some of the old schoolers will say, I can't root for any Detroit team after Rick Mahorn elbowed Mark Price in the head and ended his season. Guardians and Tigers was pretty heated this summer. I mean, that playoff series was close. I think people got sick of hearing about A.J. Hinch in Cleveland for the diehard baseball fans, and for the Guardians to end their season was kind of sweet. I know I loved it. But, man, the Lions are something different, man. It's like you got to go into the playoffs, you're right, being interested and intrigued. They're in a different conference. Spencer, it's not like they're in the AFC.
That does help.
And that does help, and there's never really been a Lions and Brown, what, maybe in the 60s, the 50s? But that was a long, long time ago. I endorse it. I say, why not? You know, because who's the biggest threat to the Lions right now in the NFC? You know, and even in football, aren't people tired of the Chiefs?
Philly? I don't know. They're people playing getting pretty well.
Yeah, maybe Philly.
49ers, but if they figure it out.
If they figure it out. so we'll see. But, hey, if you want to root for the Lions, I'm endorsing it. Yes, for sure.
Well,
Might as well.
I think your thoughts on it matter because obviously you're from here, but you live
and
in Detroit.
I live in Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of get the full experience. Like, you sort of see how it goes. And we know you're a diehard Guardians fan. You come into town for games. You do a podcast with your brother about the Guardians. So we know you care about that team.
I've despised the Tigers since I was a kid. I mean, they used to come to Municipal Stadium and kick our ass, man. I mean, Kirk Gibson, Jack Morris, Lou Whitaker probably hit 700 in that stadium. And it was terrible. But that was back in the 80s. They were good. We were bad. Then the 90s, we were good. They were bad. It's they've never been good at the same time except this year. So it was sweet to beat them.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually. Like, it did
never
always,
been
it,
good at the same
it
time.
It did always feel like they were always like in different stages. Because we know like the Detroit teams with Miggy at his prime and, you know, Verlander and all those guys.
Yeah.
Right, like those teams were always awesome. And they like owned the Guardians for a while. And then after that era sort of died, that's what the Guardians took back over. And then Detroit's been a rebuild. So that's a fair point. And I do think like the baseball side of this is where I think most of like the animosity towards Detroit would come from, because I know what you mean about like the Pistons and LeBron early on and all that, but I don't know that there's been as much like of a rivalry between those two teams as there has been between the Guardians and the Tigers. So I just like I find it interesting because
yeah.
I do think those things extend. There's so many different stances on this. Like there's some people who are like I think ultimately like. In the NFL season, we get to the playoffs, and we're all looking for great stories to follow when our team's out of it. Like that's 100% a normal thing to do.
And we all watch. It's the NFL,
right? And Detroit has to be like the best story going in the NFL right now. Like just everything surrounding them, and in a lot of ways, they are relatable to Cleveland, like we talked about, where it's like smaller market city that's always kind of been down and out, and all of a sudden they're figuring it out. Like, can they go on this magical run? We all aspire here in Cleveland to see the Browns get to that point. So, like, they're a great story, but I also understand where, like, some fans are just like, I can't do it. Like, I don't blame them either. I root against the like so many Detroit teams in my day. I can't just jump on that bandwagon because they're a good story.
Well, and if the Lions make the Super Bowl, think about that, Spencer. That's another one off the list that the Browns now are having to sit on that list with.
Yeah.
The Lions end up going, scratch them off the list, and then they're going to – that list, the minute the Lions beat whoever in the NFC Championship game, they'll flash it on the screen. Oh, the Lions go to the Super Bowl. Here are the remaining teams that have never been. And it's like, oh, my God, not us.
It'll be
again.
Like the Browns, the Texans, and the Cardinals. No, Cardinals have been now, actually. Jacksonville,
Jaguars.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's only
it's
like
horrible.
A few.
It's
There's
horrible.
Only a handful. Yeah.
The fact we're even having this discussion – in November, early November.
I know,
such
I'm
a
sorry.
Bummer.
I'm
it's
sorry.
No, it's a bummer. It's not your fault. It's the team in Berea's fault. Oh, it sucks.
But from that angle of it, I can see where Ken was coming from with like the Joe Burrow Bengals thing. Because like that year, they were the best story. But it's the same sort of thing. Like, and it's different because the Lions aren't in your division and you won't play
exactly.
them very often.
No,
but
exactly.
at the same time, it's a city that you've always kind of compared yourself to. There was always, you know, when you're down, you like having somebody to feel down with, where you guys can kind of like commiserate together. And I think that's kind of what Detroit has been for Cleveland. And like you said, if they go on and make a Super Bowl run, all of a sudden the Browns are like the only dilapidated team left. It's like, man.
Right, because the others are all expansion teams. I mean, the Lions have been around for a long time. The Browns have been around for a long time. Oh, my God, it's such a bummer.
This ultimately just brings us back to the top of the show. We're all very frustrated by this NFL
exactly.
right now, and the fact that the Browns haven't lived up to the expectations. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do if you want to cheer for the Lions. I can tell you, because they are a great story, and I, at this point, like in my life and career, I love following these stories even sometimes more than I love following one team specifically. Like, I'm going to be hoping they make a deep run and maybe do go all the way. But I can understand where the rivalry that has existed between these two cities would be a roadblock for people. 216-474-0092. Is it okay to jump on the Lions bandwagon and be a pseudo-Lions fan for the rest of the season, root for them to get to the Super Bowl, or is it sacrilege given the rivalry that exists between Cleveland and Detroit? You can also hit us up on Twitter at @Spencito_@DairySpeaks. We'll get to some callers on the other side. And when we get back, again, we'd be remiss if we had Matt Derry on with us today and we didn't talk at least a little bit of Guardians. So we'll do that here coming up at 4:40 before he leaves us at 5. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German, Matt Derry, Afternoon Drive here on 92.3 The Fan. Hey, down here in Cleveland, Matt, like, I'm already getting the sense that people are like, well, hey, now that the Browns are pretty much out of it and I need something to cheer for the rest of the season, and then you throw in the fact that Za'Darius Smith just got traded there, people are already talking about cheering for the Detroit Lions in the rest of the year and come playoff time and rooting for them to win a Super Bowl. And I know especially the morning show here at 92 The Fan is very particular about the teams that other people are allowed to rep on their hats and their clothes and cheer for and support. They were very staunchly against cheering for Joe Burrow when the Bengals made the Super Bowl because it's your division rival. And
yeah they're right.
Joe Burrow went to Ohio State. And in this instance, I know in football they're not necessarily a direct rival, but they do have a direct rivalry in another sport. And I don't know, is it appropriate for Browns fans to cheer for the Detroit Lions the rest of the season?
I mean, look, the Lions are America's team. They are. They are. They've become America's team. Dallas is pathetic.
What does Jerry Jones have to say about that?
Right? Lions are fun. Like, they're, you played the Dan Campbell clip coming out of the break. I mean, it's hard not to root for them. They really are all about winning, and they've done it right. And all these other organizations are now trying to copy the Lions, who have not won a championship since 1957. Like, that's craziness. Like, Arizona's built their team just like the Lions have with their GM and coach and how they're aligned. It's wild to think about that. But you're right, Spencer. Like, Guardians and Tigers are now a good rivalry and have kind of been rivals. They've never been good at the same time. Pistons, Cavs have had their moments in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
The LeBron 47 game that I was courtside for in 07.
Wow,
I
mean, look at you. Congratulations on all your success.
But no, I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, it was an unbelievable
That's
performance.
That's awesome, yeah.
But like, Pistons, Cavs, Guardians, Tigers. I mean, there really is there Browns, Lions, other than the Great Lakes Classic preseason trophy. Remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
They're really
and what's the one between the Lions and the Guardians? It's like the barge or something. Isn't that the trophy? Is that still a thing? Don't they?
That
have
was
like a trophy?
No, that was guard. That oh, was that, Lions that, and Browns.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The Great Lakes Classic, and it was right. This giant barge on a trophy case. But like,
that's like a college football trophy, right?
I don't think that's a. I mean, if you need a team B, but see, we've never in Cleveland, we've never had a team B. Like in Detroit, because the Lions are so bad. People are like, oh, my team B is the Chargers, or my team B. That used to be a topic. Like, oh, who's your team B going to be this year? Browns, we've never really had to have that. And then, and then for 3 years, it was anybody that played the Ravens until the Browns came back in 99. So, yeah, I don't think it would be bad to root for Detroit.
So, I don't personally think it's bad. And I think it's kind of like, to your point, like they have sort of taken the league by storm. They've taken the just NFL fans in general by storm. They're a tremendous story. Dan Campbell is awesome, as you heard in that clip there. Like the Jared Goff sort of resurgence to being a better quarterback and sort of reviving his career in that way in Detroit has been great. And, you know, shout out Ben Johnson for that, who's probably going to be one of the top candidates for a head coaching job this cycle. There's so much to like about that team. But I also understand where, like, I'm sure plenty of people are finding reasons to cheer for the Lions. I think it's also a little bit frustrating because, like you said, there's always been sort of this like kumbaya between the Browns, the Bengals, the Bills, and the Lions, where it's like we all just kind of suck and we're all kind of from the same region, right? Like we're all sort of like this Midwest teams. Most of us kind of border Lake Erie. And, you know, it was always like the Ravens and Steelers dominated the division. So the Browns took solace and Browns fans took solace in the fact that, like, well, at least the Bengals suck too. And then along Lake Erie, it was always like, well, you know, the Lions are the first team to go 0-16. The Browns are the second team to ever go 0-16. And then the Bills sucked for as long as they did. And so there was always kind of this, like, camaraderie between these fan bases that, like, they really, really care about their teams. But they were never just good enough to actually go win anything. And so I do wonder if there's also a little bit of that in play here where it's like, yeah, I get why I need to root for them, but I feel like also it's kind of like a great, we got passed by the Detroit Lions too. Like even they passed us now. What does that say about us?
Right. Well, how old are you?
33.
All right, so you were not around for the Browns Bengals hatred fest in the mid-80s.
Yeah, with the Steve White.
Right. I mean, that was pretty ugly for about 5 years. Like, Browns Bengals was really interesting for about 5 years, from like 85 to 90. But you're right. I mean, the Bills at least have made the Super Bowl, right? I mean, the
True.
Lions haven't. The Browns haven't.
But this again, century, it's always kind of been like a camaraderie between those cities that like, because I do think Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo are three of maybe the best sports like fan bases in this country.
Amazing sports towns.
Because like they care. Like you go to L.A. and the talk about, you know, going to SoFi Stadium to see a game is always like, it's just this very like business buttoned up crowd. Like there's not a lot of noise. Nobody really gives a damn about the Rams. And you hear that about other cities. But those three cities specifically stand out because those fan bases care. They live and breathe and die football in those communities, and it's awesome. I feel honored to have been lived in Western New York and like experience like seeing that firsthand, and then cover the Bills for a couple years and seeing that firsthand, and now being Cleveland. Like I've covered, I think, two of the best sports cities that you could ever imagine covering, which is awesome for me. But like now that they're on sort of like different playing fields, it's like the Bills passed the Browns a while ago, several years ago when Sean McDermott took over. Now even the Lions have surpassed them while the Browns are in the midst of a 2-7 season. Like I can see some jealousy creeping in there.
Oh, for sure. And I think some of the old schoolers will say, I can't root for any Detroit team after Rick Mahorn elbowed Mark Price in the head and ended his season. Guardians and Tigers was pretty heated this summer. I mean, that playoff series was close. I think people got sick of hearing about A.J. Hinch in Cleveland for the diehard baseball fans, and for the Guardians to end their season was kind of sweet. I know I loved it. But, man, the Lions are something different, man. It's like you got to go into the playoffs. You're right. Being interested and intrigued. They're in a different conference. Spencer, it's not like they're in the AFC.
That does help.
And that does help. And there's never really been a Lions and Brown, what, maybe in the 60s, the 50s? But that was a long, long time ago. I endorse it. I say, why not? You know, because who's the biggest threat to the Lions right now in the NFC? You know, and even in football, aren't people tired
of
the Chiefs?
Philly? I don't know. They're people playing getting pretty well.
Yeah, maybe Philly.
49ers, but aren't people, if they figure it out.
If they figure it out. so we'll see. But, hey, if you want to root for the Lions, I'm endorsing it. Yes, for sure.
I think your thoughts on it matter because obviously you're from here, but you live
in
Detroit.
I live in Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of get the full experience. Like you sort of see how it goes. And we know you're a diehard Guardians fan. You come into town for games, you do a podcast with your brother about the Guardians. So we know you care about that team
and I've despised the Tigers since I was a kid. I mean, they used to come to Municipal Stadium and kick our ass, man. I mean, Kirk Gibson, Jack Morris, Lou Whitaker probably hit 700 in that stadium, and it was terrible. But that was back in the 80s. They were good, we were bad. Then the 90s, we were good, they were bad. It's they've never been good at the same time except this year. So it was sweet to beat them.
Yeah, that is a good point actually. Like it did
never
always,
been
it,
good at the same.
It did always feel like they were always like in different stages because we know like the Detroit teams with Miggy at his prime and you know Verlander and all those guys.
Yeah.
Right, like. Those teams were always awesome, and they like owned the Guardians for a while. And then after that era sort of died, that's where the Guardians took back over. And then Detroit's been a rebuild, so that's a fair point. And I do think like the baseball side of this is where I think most of like the animosity towards Detroit would come from, because I know what you mean about like the Pistons and LeBron early on and all that, but I don't know if there's been as much like of a rivalry between those two teams as there has been between the Guardians and the Tigers. So I just like I find that interesting because I do think those things extend. There's so many different stances on this. Like there's some people who are like I think ultimately like in the NFL season we get to the playoffs and we're all looking for great stories to follow when our team's out of it. Like that's 100% a normal thing to do.
And we all watch. It's the NFL.
Right. And Detroit has to be like the best story going in the NFL right now. Like just everything surrounding them. And in a lot of ways, they are relatable to Cleveland. Like we talked about where it's like smaller market city that's always kind of been down and out. And all of a sudden they're figuring it out. Like, can they go on this magical run? We all aspire here in Cleveland to see the Browns get to that point. So like, they're a great story, but I also understand where, like, some fans are just like, I can't do it. Like,
I don't blame them either.
I root against the like so many Detroit teams in my day. I can't just jump on that bandwagon because they're a good story.
Well, and if the Lions make the Super Bowl, think about that, Spencer. That's another one off the list that the Browns now are having to sit on that list with.
Yeah.
The Lions end up going, scratch them off the list, and then they're going to – that list, the minute the Lions beat whoever in the NFC Championship game, they'll flash it on the screen. Up, the Lions go to the Super Bowl. Here are the remaining teams that have never been. It's like, oh, my God, not us.
It'll be
again.
Like the Browns, the Texans, and the Cardinals. No, Cardinals have been now, actually. Jacksonville, yeah. There's only like a few.
It's
There's
horrible.
Only a handful. Yeah.
The fact we're even having this discussion in November, early November,
I know,
is such
I'm sorry.
Bummer.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Such a, no, it's a bummer. It's not your fault. It's the team in Berea's fault. Oh, it sucks.
But from that angle of it, I can see where Ken was coming from with like the Joe Burrow Bengals thing. Because like at that year, they were the best story. But it's the same sort of thing. Like, and it's different because the Lions aren't in your division and you won't play them very often.
No,
but
exactly.
At the same time, it's a city that you've always kind of compared yourself to. There was always, you know, when you're down, you like having somebody to feel down with, where you guys can kind of like commiserate together. And I think that's kind of what Detroit has been for Cleveland. And like you said, if they go on and make a Super Bowl run, all of a sudden the Browns are like the only dilapidated team left. It's like, man.
Right, because the others are all expansion teams. I mean, the Lions have been around for a long time. The Browns have been around for a long time. Oh, my God, it's such a bummer.
This ultimately just brings us back to the top of the show. We're all very frustrated by this NFL
exactly.
right now, and the fact that the Browns haven't lived up to the expectations. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do if you want to cheer for the Lions. I can tell you, because they are a great story, and I, at this point, like in my life and career, I love following these stories even sometimes more than I love following one team specifically. Like, I'm going to be hoping they make a deep run and maybe do go all the way. But I can understand where the rivalry that has existed between these two cities would be a roadblock for people. 216-474-0092. Is it okay to jump on the Lions bandwagon and be a pseudo Lions fan for the rest of the season, root for them to get to the Super Bowl, or is it sacrilege given the rivalry that exists between Cleveland and Detroit? You can also hit us up on Twitter @Spencito_@DairySpeaks. We'll get to some callers on the other side. And when we get back, again, we'd be remiss if we had Matt Derry on with us today and we didn't talk at least a little bit of Guardians. So we'll do that here coming up at 4:40 before he leaves us at 5. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German, Matt Derry, Afternoon Drive here on 92.3 The Fan.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.